This is a replay of the Wednesday night, August 23rd WGN show, and we started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, well, you know, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number one-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We are 3 hours to spend together, and I'd love to hear from you. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Well, the one person you would not love to hear from probably is the IRS agent knocking at your door. And I got to admit, I must live in a sheltered life, but I've never known anybody who got an in-person visit from the IRS. Letters, yes. Oh, beaucoup de letters. Phone calls, not usually. They're not calling you. You call them, well, just plan to kind of set aside the afternoon while you're on hold. No, you're on ignore. Well, but in person? Well, apparently they were doing that and doing that a lot. But as of Monday this week, they're no longer doing it. A major policy change. Now, what I thought was interesting is the PR people at the IRS are talking about how great it is for taxpayers, but the reality is it's a major change because the agents who were showing up at the door were often in harm's way. That's right. Taxpayers were mad as hell and not going to take it anymore, and that didn't work out well, and they are unarmed. I don't know about the taxpayers, but the agents at that point in time, the guys who showed up at your door. And I thought, what do you have to do to get an in-person visit? And I'm not 100% sure, but I assume it means you ignored a lot of letters and they're there to collect. But now you'll get the dreaded letter. And when I say dreaded, the one that says, we need to set up an in-person appointment, meaning you go to them, I suppose, or maybe they come to you if you know they're coming. But nonetheless, they're not showing up at your door anymore. All right, so have you ever had an IRS agent show up at your door? I want to hear that story because, as I say, I might be sheltered, but I don't know anybody who ever got that visit. So I'm not sure how delinquent you have to be for them to show up in person, but now they don't anymore. So that's the good news. Social Security, this is just horrible. And why I say that is, in fact, tonight, while we were out at dinner, there was a big screen TV on in the restaurant, and they had one of those closed caption things so I could read along. And what they were doing was interviewing people in terms of how they felt the economy really was. And they got a number of people in Nevada, and it was a cross-section. And sadly, to a person, individuals are worried. And what they're worried about more than any single thing is the cost of goods and services, whether you're an end user buying them or you're a restaurant owner trying to buy food. And it was story after story with self-identified Democrats and Republicans, so it wasn't unbalanced that way, from pretty much all walks of life. And of course, particularly hit our senior citizens. Now, what's interesting is that the generation before baby boomers, who granted earned a lot less in terms of actual dollars, so therefore, their Social Security is considerably less. But that generation is more likely than not to have a defined benefit pension. In other words, work for 30, 40, 50 years and get the gold watch and a guaranteed monthly stipend, as opposed to, say, a 401k, which is more of a guaranteed contribution than a guaranteed benefit, to say the less. So they're not necessarily hit as hard with an increase when it's not large in Social Security because their check wasn't that big to begin with and because they had other retirement funds that were providing for them. But the baby boomers are the ones who are really hit with this because, well, last year was the highest cost of living increase in four decades, 8.7%. But now what they're predicting for next year's increase is 3.1%. Now, it's the Senior Citizens League that does these predictions. And what they do, the cost of living increase, the COLA, is calculated based on inflation in the third quarter, July, August, September of the prior year. And so that's why we don't know until October what the actual cost of living adjustment is going to be. But here is the problem with this year. January through May, inflation was gonzo as far as what you were really paying. July, August, and I don't know about September yet, but have been lower. So if they are using July, August, and September as the basis for the increase you get, let's say January through May increased by 25%. Well, if July, August, and September were increased by 3%, you get 3%. Never mind that you had all that other increase before that. So that's the bad news, if as it were. Now, in terms of armed IRS agents, and again, those who came to your door as a taxpayer weren't armed, and I don't think there were any anything in place for them to be, despite the doomsday people saying they're going to arm them and come to your door. But they are hiring more, and they are, in some cases, arming them for various reasons. And why I bring that up is, sadly, in the news in Arizona over the weekend, is one of them on the range was killed. Yeah. So I think it's important that they know how to shoot before they take them out to the range. So with that in mind, we have beaucoup de stories, and most of them I get, well, of course, Carol's wonderful at show prep. She's the queen. But most of the stories I get are from James. And so he waited patiently last night and the show ended. So we're starting with James tonight. Welcome to WGN Radio. Thanks for the many, many, many links.
Are you welcome? Okay. How are you feeling? Okay. All I can say about the wet in Chicago. Well, okay, we're cooking our own juice.
Oh man. Well, I'll tell you, if you asked me several hours ago, I would have told you there wasn't going to be a show tonight. Two things happened. Number one, we lost air conditioning completely. Now, when it's 120 degrees outside, losing air conditioning completely is drama. Now, on top of that, for whatever reason, I lost my upload speed on the internet. Oh, I could download, but not upload, which would have meant no phone calls, no signal to WGN, et cetera, and so forth. So I was thinking, well, I guess I'll have the night off. Well, it turned out air conditioning is back, and the internet is too. So here I am. That's how I'm doing.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. And John is progressing, which is good.
Yes, that is just excellent.
Yes, the first couple of stories I was going to comment on, I said, it's kind of, I've never had that experience either of IRS, okay, obviously there was a wrestler who named himself IRS back in the 90s, I think it was.
Oh, that's great. Did he ask for checks?
Yeah,
dressed
up. He dressed up in a suit, had a tie, carried a briefcase, came into the ring and said to his opponent, "Have you paid your taxes?"
Oh, my God.
We won't go the rest of it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So.
He was a real heel for a time. Had a ponytail like Highlander.
Oh, man.
Glasses. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a sub-reason why the IRS is quitting this, because they are aware that scams are occurring. And let's face it, I don't know anything more frightening than opening your door and we're from the IRS and we're not here to help you. Now, that said, I guess more frightening, the guy who was killed at the range, it's sadly, a special agent was accidentally shot by another agent during a training exercise last Thursday at a federal gun range. And what's really sad is the individual who died, 47-year-old retired master sergeant with Arizona Air National Guard, and sadly, a fellow officer accidentally shot him.
Yeah, that's okay. Which kind of really tells you, at least it should. But unfortunately, we keep hearing about children basically getting a hold of guns. And okay, I won't go into about the story about the Virginia thing, which is, it keeps on getting mind-boggling in certain ways that you kind of like say, Okay, did that kid actually say that to his classmate, that he bleeped the, I wanted to basically, okay, in an earlier era, he would have had his hiney tarred, tanned, big time.
Well,
it was in, where's the strap?
Well, what, you know, supposedly this is a six-year-old texting, and I just find that implausible, and it's probably not. And that is frightening as you can get. The teacher, of course, sent a text, and that I know. But hopefully they're not claiming the child sent the text, because I don't buy that.
Because I hope he didn't, but you want to know something? Here's the sad part about the teacher, really. That bullet is still in there.
I know.
And they figured that, and the surgeons probably figured that's probably safer than them trying to get it out where it is.
Yeah.
But it's going to cause some long-term problems.
Well, no doubt about it. But sadly, in shootings, that happens. It's not usual, but it happens often enough that it's not uncommon that a bullet is left in because it's safer. But, this is a horrible, horrible story all the way around. I got
a relative who lived the last 53 years with a bullet in his head.
Yeah, oh, God. No, like I say, it's sadly not entirely uncommon in shootings. But this teacher last spring filed a $40 million lawsuit. And so to get lawyers who obviously are on contingency, but even so, get lawyers who want to take that case, she had a lot of proof that she sent warnings and nobody seemed to care.
Yeah, and really it's like, okay, I had a friend who was still a teacher, but I had another, one of my old teachers, who basically knew it was time to go when a child basically said to after he asked, what we want to be, and kids have all these fancy, they want to be an astronaut, they want to be president, they want to be an Olympic athlete, that sort of thing. Nice little thing.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Well, this kid said, I want to be a drug dealer. I'm imitating him. Like my pa.
Oh, God.
And I thought, he wanted to be Pablo Escobar light.
No, it's funny you say that. I remember back in junior high when they one of the courses that they had, the teacher wanted the students to all prepare a report on what they wanted to do when they got out of school. And of course, you know me, I wanted to be a disc jockey. Of course, it's pretty boring in the way of things, and it required no education, as far as I stated. But in any event, one of the girls in the class, and I will not mention her name, but her mother was a well-known quote-unquote escort on Miami Beach. And not only that, but she had run for office under the Free Play Amendment. I mean, this woman was running a bordello, for God's sakes. So this girl turned in her assignment that she was going to become a call girl. And you know the funny thing? She did. And so
oh, my goodness.
I'm
thinking the Jay Giles song almost.
Yeah.
My angel is
yes, right. Is the centerfold. Yes, exactly. So, and I don't remember what the teacher did, but in a way, she asked for it. You know, so.
that's kind of like how the Sox were throwing, the pitchers were doing the week or so.
Yeah, I don't know.
It just handed down the middle, and the hitter said, thank you, I'll take you there.
Now, we also have the pig kidney transplant that's doing well. Of course, we don't know exactly how well the patient is doing since he's brain dead, but he is still alive a month later after his pig kidney. And that doesn't fully surprise me, because pigs are real close to us. I mean, when we're taking exogenous hormones, whether it be a thyroid medicine, well, now they usually use synthetic, but back in the day, or whether it be insulin, there's a pig involved in that equation. So
that's right.
I think about it sometimes when I eat bacon. I feel very guilty. I feel like a cannibal. But nonetheless, the guy has survived for over a month with a pig kidney. So that could be interesting. Now, and the reason I say it's interesting, of course, is that we hear so many anecdotal stories of people who've had a transplant of any major organ taking on the traits of their donor. Like, you know, if their donor liked to drink beer, suddenly they like to drink beer or whatever. Well, in a pig transplant, what is going to happen? People are going to be suddenly rooting around in the mud? I don't know.
Maybe hunting for truffle.
Yeah, exactly. So so there you have it. That that was a one-of-a-kind operation so far, but I bet you it's coming to a body near us soon. Now, back to the IRS for a moment. You gave me the bad news that in the event you actually find a meteorite or a cash stuffed in a piano, you got to report it to the IRS. Now, what's the likelihood someone's going to do that?
I would say slim and none.
Except, consider these poor guys who wind up in news stories. I'll tell you what, if you find something in the sand, keep your mouth shut, brother, because I guarantee you that the IRS has put a public service announcement out basically saying if you find riches, you got to give us some of them.
Okay, it's almost like that. Like that song says, "If you got the money, I got the time."
Yeah, precisely. And so, apparently, this comes under miscellaneous income because they don't have a category for treasure hunting, but they do have a miscellaneous income. And this reminds me, years ago, when Huggy Boy in Los Angeles, who used to do all those wonderful record hops, and he was just absolutely an innocent in so many ways, and he got arrested for tax evasion because, of course, he did so many hops and he never ever turned in any money. And he literally said on the stand, "Well, Judge, I didn't know I was supposed to give the government a cut." And my favorite answer. And they sentenced him to a year in jail. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so in this case, if you find something that's worthwhile, remember you've got to give the government a cut.
Yeah, it's like kind of like Uncle Sam is that you knock at the door and says, "Oh, who is it? Uncle? Uncle who? Uncle Sam." Yeah.
Now, here's the thing that I wonder. Let's say you find not cash, but you find an object that's supposedly worth a lot. Well, if you don't sell it, do you still have to pay the taxes, or is it when you sell it? Because if you have to pay the taxes when you get it, like it's a game show, you wind up having to sell the object to pay the taxes.
Exactly.
And, of course, if it's a meteorite, that's going to be a collectible. And people don't realize that collectibles are different than standard capital gain taxes. That could be as high as 28%.
Oh, yeah. And, okay, you know how the government loves that capital gain.
Oh, absolutely. So if you have found a meteorite, please don't call the press. Now, then there are some headlines where I just shudder at the headline. Mom of 15 faked death after allegedly boiling newborn puppies found alive behind false wall. Now, the puppies weren't found alive. She was. This woman is boiling puppies to death after having 15 children?
Okay. Yeah.
I think there's an insanity defense here.
I read the story through, and it's not good. Apparently, her husband was just as horrible.
Oh, great.
Okay, she was in jail, and then she had sneaked her in order to get out of jail, and then they got, her husband had been, or was already in another state. He was already in hot water for, I think, abusing. He beat one of his children who had gotten pregnant so badly that she had a miscarriage.
Yeah, that was a 14-year-old. Well, with 15 kids, I guess you can't watch after all of them. But yes, she's known for killing the dogs and beating the kids and chaining them to beds and all that. And by the way, there are so many incidents connected with her. You really wonder. Now, of course, I realize she violated probation and then vanished. But you really wonder how she was ever allowed to be in touch with any of these kids. By the way, when you mentioned the husband, when they went to this woman's house, they found her husband dead on the lawn.
Yeah.
So.
And then a neighbor gave them the hint about, and they found a missing teenager and her behind a fake wall.
Unbelievable. So
yeah, I just simply shook my head. I said, okay, we talk about be fruitful and multiply, but then some you just gotta wonder. Okay, you almost feel like you want to get in touch with your inner Billy Jack and
Yeah, I got it. Now, what was interesting is when they found her and the kid behind the wall, they arrested her for an outstanding warrant and misdemeanor child abuse charges and obstructing police during an investigation. Misdemeanor? What does it take to have a felony? So it really makes you wonder. So that's from she's a New Mexico mother, but she's in a Colorado jail across the border. I guess there were charges that way. But anyhow, as usual, a plethora of wonderful, wonderful stories. And thank you, thank you, thank you.
There was one other one that came across right kind of quick. Okay, there was of course the thing about where a school released a 3-year-old to a stranger because they thought the stranger was her grandpa.
Right. Yeah. It makes you wonder. So
I said, let's not forget, here's the thing. Even professional race car drivers are not immune to having to deal with road rage.
Oh, no, yeah, that is a good story. But yes, the Corcoran, California is where the 3-year-old was released to a complete stranger. So, all right, maybe we'll talk about that next time. And thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, you take care.
All right, good deal.
Okay, God bless.
Yeah, now, you know, the horrible thing is the parents showed up to pick up the kid only to find out that the kid's been released to a stranger. Yeah, we'll get to Brian and Joliet. There's room for you two coming up, but right now I think it's time for the news on WGN Radio. Sparks of Rhythm were the first artist to record it in 1959 on Apollo. And then, of course, Jimmy Jones had a hit with it, and I played it because it corresponded to this day in history, because Del Shannon's cover of Handyman peaked at number 22. He couldn't hold a candle to the Sparks of Rhythm, as far as I'm concerned. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Brian is in Joliet. What's happening tonight, Brian?
How are you, Raleigh? And thank you for taking my call.
Always.
And how's the weather over there?
Hot.
Yeah, that's finally pushed up. I'm calling from Joliet, Illinois.
Yes.
And the weather you were having is finally pushed into here. If you knew that.
Well, I think it's probably right now in the upper 80s in Joliet. But there is an excessive heat warning through Thursday. Now, it's funny, of course, because what you guys consider an excessive heat warning, we consider a cooling trend.
That's well. How do you have to stay in all the time?
No,
you know,
no. Well, for one thing, now again, it's rare that we encounter much humidity, and that does make a difference. Now, granted, when it's 110 degrees, it's 110 degrees, but humidity is a factor, and so when you don't have much, you're better off. You don't stay in all the time, but like today, when my air conditioning went out, I knew that it would be just literally a matter of an hour before it was 100 degrees indoors, and that was true. So, you know, there are times you need to, get those portable coolers in a hurry. But for the most part, as long as you're not staying outdoors for too long and you're doing all the common sense things, plenty of fluids, if you're outside, have a hat. Strangely enough, it sounds counterintuitive, but if you're going to be in the sunshine, wear long sleeves, you know, things like that.
Raleigh, can I make a request? And I have some comments.
Well, it depends what you want to hear, because, you know, your taste won't necessarily fit this show.
Oh, I understand that. Have you ever heard of Graham Parsons?
Yes, and I'll never play him.
Oh, okay. Well, did you know that he did the... did he write the original version of Love Hurts? Is that his song,
No, I don't know. He was a guy from Winter Haven who I know went to Harvard after that. He died quite a while ago. He was young. He was only like 26 years old. He died in Joshua Tree in California. And he was doing things in the 60s and, of course, doing things, you know about the birds and all that. But Love Hurts, let me see who wrote Love Hurts. I can find that out. I didn't like the single, but I certainly know it. Let's see. And you're talking about the Nazareth version, but there are a number of other people who, well, of course, that's interesting. No, Budlow Bryant wrote it.
Oh, really? So
yeah, for Nazareth. He wrote it originally for the Everly Brothers, and Nazareth had the hit.
I heard Graham Parsons' version of it, too. I thought he did a good job. That's why I asked, because I was wondering if he actually wrote it.
No, it was Budlow Bryant. And, you know, it doesn't get more writing royalty than that. Budlow and his wife, Felice Bryant, wrote all those wonderful Everly Brothers songs and so many other great things.
And I was going to ask you if, did you like it all? I like them. Did you like at all Elvis's songs from, I say, 1968 to 72?
I can't think of any.
Oh, okay. I did.
Well, that's good.
And I wanted to say another reminder, because there may be a different audience, you know, at the time, that on Labor Day, they can find a channel they're going to have. If you like Little Richard Penniman, I'm looking forward to seeing that. It's going to be like a documentary on Little Richard.
Yeah, I know. And Labor Day is Monday, I believe, and I'll be on the air doing Monday Night Trivia.
Oh, you're still going to? Well,
I always do holidays.
Yeah, well, the documentary will be over by the time your show is on.
Yes, it will. So follow the documentary, and then we'll play trivia on Labor Day, which I believe is the 3rd.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the third of September.
I'm looking forward to that. And you look forward to play trivia and watch Little Richard. Maybe I can talk a little bit about... what I thought of the documentary.
That'll be great. I'll look forward to it.
Well, thank you so much, Raleigh,
taking
my call.
Appreciate it. Okay, bye. All right, bye-bye. So Labor Day is actually September 4th this year. It's not the 3rd of September, a day I always remember, yes, because several songs mentioned 3rd of September. And it was also Bucky Lemon's birthday, who's no longer with us. But nonetheless, Labor Day this year is September 4th, and I'll be doing it from the Globe studio because September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, we will be at the Tucson Comic-Con, yes, where everybody should be. Well, at least John will enjoy it. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And we're going to get to Leah and Marcus Hook here in a moment. But let me get back to radio. Yeah, the CC Skywave SSB2, which is a really great emergency radio. It fits in the palm of your hand. It weighs only only 8 ounces, so it's a terrific travel radio. The reception is excellent. The audio is sharp and clear, and you will have access to things you're not hearing with any other radio. The smartphone doesn't get sideband, and emergency single sideband transmissions, well, maybe fewer and farther between, but still a lot on single sideband that you might want to hear. You can check that out. In addition, of course, listening to your favorite AM and FM stations with better clarity and better reception than the average radio, because that's what Bob Crane's hallmark is, just great radio reception, and this is no exception. It's also got a weather band and weather alert, so it's a terrific travel radio all the way around at 8 ounces, especially. You can just put it in your pocket or your purse. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Not only read about the CC Skywave and order it if you like, but great information, great products. A lot of people sometimes will say, well, what about an antenna? Well, you'll read all about it, antennas for AM and FM, and so much more. So check out that CC Skywave. Now, if you want it like tomorrow, you can go to Amazon and do that, but you don't get the great information. Now, of course, if you can't go online at all, well, maybe you are more in need of a radio than anybody else. Well, you can call them. They've got the best customer service in the world. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But best of all, go online, ccradio.com. Look at that CC Skywave SSB2U. Tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Now that girl, I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Good evening, sweet darling. May I ask your name? You seem to be lonely. Well, don't worry, I'm feeling the same. Oh, it's a groovy situation, a splendid combination, that we should meet at a time like this. Oh, it's a groovy situation, a splendid combination. You're something that I just can't miss. Now that girl, I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Now that girl.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Gene Chandler, and 53 years ago this week, he was on American Bandstand singing that. 1970 on Mercury, groovy situation. He produced that as well. He didn't write it, but he produced it, and of course, did a masterful job on the vocals on that too. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Leah in Marcus Hook. What's happening tonight, Leah?
Oh, not much, Raleigh. How are you?
Can't complain.
I'm glad you got your air conditioning back.
Oh, you and me both. Yeah, I'm glad I got broadband back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a couple things for you, but I wanted to talk about the blood pressure machines.
Yeah.
I have problems with them too. They always come out high on me, and I know I don't have high blood pressure. I never have.
It's not an exact science for sure, but always take it in triplicate a minute apart.
Yeah, well, I went out and bought myself a blood pressure cuff from Amazon, and I take it with me to the doctors now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a regular manual one.
Mm-hmm.
And but I find that I don't know what they do now in nursing school, but a lot of nurses don't know how to use them.
I know. And I find this horrifying. And I also find it hard. And many times, though, it's not nurses. When you go to the doctor's office, it's just some assistant. She's no more a nurse than you are.
Like medical assistant or whatever they're called.
And,
I don't know.
An actual nurse, an RN, an LPN, they know how to take your blood pressure. But that's not that's not who you're seeing in these offices.
I mean, they're wearing scrubs. They look like a nurse, but they're actually not.
They're not. They're absolutely not. And, you know, again, the maddening thing is where you just get in the office, you're just sitting down, and they're slapping a cuff on you. Just don't let them do it, ever. Just say, hey, it's going to be about 5 minutes while I relax. You can come back. And, you know, you can call the shots on that. But, you know, if you get readings you don't like, you just tell the doctor, I want a manual reading on this.
Yeah, I always bring it with me, but that, like some of them are like, well,
I don't talk to them about it. Ask the doctor. Say, hey, would you take a manual reading for me?
And I have one doctor, my pain doctor. She doesn't know how to use it.
What do you mean? Doesn't know how to use a blood pressure monitor?
I mean, she tried using it, and she was like, I can't use this. I can't use this.
It's time I change doctors, because it's pretty basic. Well, you do it yourself, right? I mean, you know how to do this.
No, I can't do it. I don't know what to listen for or anything.
It's very simple, all right? So here's the deal. You put the cuff, above your elbow. You take the stethoscope. You know, you put it in your ear so you know you can hear something. You can just hit the end of the stethoscope and you'll know you can hear something. Then you put that stethoscope in the crook of your arm, and then you increase the pressure in the cuff to the point that you're, I'd say, go to 180, 190. Then slowly release it. The first second you hear a heartbeat, that's the systolic pressure. Keep going down. Do this very slowly. The last second you hear a heartbeat, that's the diastolic pressure. And it's a simple...
Oh, so you're listening for a heartbeat.
You're listening for your heartbeat. That's all you're listening to. So again, if you have high... You don't have high blood pressure. So if you inflate the cuff to about 180, and you're going to see it on the monitor there, it tells you what the reading is. That's what you're looking at. So you're looking at that monitor. You get it to 180. Okay, now... release the cuff, but very, very slowly. So it's moving incrementally down. And as you're watching the meter and it's moving down, the first second you hear a heartbeat, that's systolic. Keep listening.
And do you have to take it on your right arm or your left arm? Does it matter?
I prefer it on the left arm, but people will argue with me and say it doesn't matter. The left arm is a little closer to the heart. I prefer it that way. It'll also be easier for you to use because then you'll be controlling you're right-handed, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you'll be controlling. You'll have the the inflator in your hand, and you'll be really, So I would put it on your left arm, and again, you're putting the stethoscope right in the crook of your arm there in your elbow. You know where that is. You've seen people do it to you. All right.
Yeah, I've seen people do it often enough. Didn't know what to listen for in the stethoscope.
That's what you're listening for. The first hint of a heartbeat is systolic. The last hint of a heartbeat is diastolic.
Okay.
And that's all it is.
Well, thanks for that.
You can do this.
I'm going to start doing it myself.
Yeah, I can guarantee you can do this. You know, if you're lazy like me, you don't do it all the time. But if I get a reading on John that I don't like and I get three in a row and I say, I don't know, I pull out a manual meter in a heartbeat.
Well, if I go to the doctor again and they don't know how to use it, I'm just going to say, you know, whatever, I'll do it myself.
Right. No, you won't even need to worry about that because you'll be doing it regularly. But if you have any questions, you speak to the doctor, not one of the assistants.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I was flabbergasted.
Well, again, they're not nurses.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you think they are, but
no, they're not. They're not. They're not. Their last job might have been Home Depot. Trust me.
The other thing I wanted to tell you is I know you don't watch movies, but I think this might be one that you would like. It's called Idolmaker. Have you ever heard of it?
Heard of it, not seen it.
Okay, it's supposedly based on the life of Bob Marcucci.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know who that is?
Of course I do. You're in Philadelphia. You should know who Bob Marcucci is.
I know I should, but I don't.
Yeah, Frankie Avalon.
Yeah, I know who that is.
Well, that's why you know who he is, because of Bob Marcucci. Now, what's interesting is Bob Marcucci tried to give the record Venus to Al Martino, who turned it down. And so,
no.
Yes. He's probably regretting that to his dying day.
Oh, okay.
Well, you've ended the hour.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks. Anyway. Bye.
All right. We'll pick it up right there next hour right here on WGN Radio. She cannot speak very well. Everybody knows that, but to me she sure looks well in her baby clothes. I ask her if her love is true, and she only goes,
yeah.
That, which means to say she loves me. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's early Jen and Dean, not the first, but one of them was on Dory. And Herb Alpert was co-producer with Lou Adler on that. And Jen and Dean in their finest, yeah, 1959. I thought we'd start to play some Jen and Dean because, of course, they were kind of stars of stage, screen, and the ill-fated Tammy show. But Dave, was it ever. Dave, a first-time caller, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi. Hello?
Hello, Dave.
Yeah, hi. I could barely hear you before. Have you known about that concert?
I know
before.
I know all about that concert. I ever? Yes. It was a scam.
A scam? How so?
Oh. Now, I'm not blaming Steve Binder, who produced it, or any of the people involved in it, but here's a guy. The executive producer was William Sargent Jr., all right? And this was a guy, some people say that the Zero Mostel character in the producers was patterned after him, but I don't think that's true. I think he's a guy who just had big visions that never panned out, all right? So Tammy, which, by the way, depending on where you saw it, stood for different things, but it was supposed to be Teenage Awards Music International, and the deal was that all the proceeds were going to go to scholarships for Los Angeles area school kids. And so here it comes, and it's right around Christmas time, 1964, and they've given away tickets. The tickets were free. If you want to go to the Tammy show, it didn't cost you anything. You just had to go to high school in LA, and they were handing them out to schools. And so it was that you go to the Tammy show, and theoretically the money would be raised. And this was the first of supposed to be many. Well, it was the first of only. So here comes the Tammy show. And, of course, it wound up in litigation fairly quickly, which is why you did not see it for years. And it became almost apocryphal, like the Tammy show. And you saw people with these horrible copies of it, which was a real shame because the technology of the Tammy show was amazing.
It was great.
Yeah, they filmed it in Electronavision or whatever they called it. The filming was just excellent. But, of course, nobody was seeing that because they were all boots originally. And so it didn't matter that it was just beautifully shot. But anyhow...
Did you know that one of the dancers in the background was Terry Garr?
Yeah, absolutely, I know that.
Oh, okay.
That's minor to our story, believe me. I also know that it was Steve Binder who convinced the Rolling Stones they should go on last, which they were really excited about until they found out how good James Brown was, and they never lived it down. But and, of course, Chuck Berry was magnificent, and, of course, he was past his 50s prime, but he kind of opened it, as you know. He was just great. Now,
but...
How
they managed to get these generes together with the likes of, say, Leslie Gore.
Yeah, but now remember, Berry Gordy wanted all the Motown acts because that's about the time that Motown was really getting big. So he was more than happy to have it as a kind of a showcase for the Motown acts, of course. Well, all these people thought they were doing a good thing. They thought it was going to this charity. oh, God.
Well, do you know that? I think one of the organizers, or a couple of them, were Don Kirshner and Phil Spector. Didn't they have something to do with it?
They did not have a big role in it. Now, remember, they were they were active at the time, but Steve Binder, I'm trying to think of the two guys, Barry, what was his first name? It'll come to me.
Barry Gordy?
No. His last name was B-A-R-R-I, but no, Jack Nietzsche was involved in this. I'm trying to think of the Dennis. Oh, God, what? So, anyhow, it was a real interesting time. Steve Barry, that's what it was, and P.F. Sloan. And it's funny because Sloan and Barry wrote from all over the world, you know, that Jan and Dean opening theme song. And when you listen to it, of course, they claim the Rolling Stones are from Liverpool. But nonetheless, Jack was the show music director and all right. So Steve had been working with the Steve Allen Show. And so it was the whole Steve Allen crew that was doing this, the Electronavision. And Bill Sargent, like I say, he was terrific electronically, but his ideas were bigger than he could ever pull off. And so never mind that it's 800 scan lines of resolution at 25 frames per second. Here they have something that's really not going to benefit anybody. And then, of course, Murray gets involved. The Beach Boys' father, I forgot Murray, whatever, Murray Wilson. He sues to have the Beach Boys taken out of it and afterwards. And he was successful. A lot of people wondered what it was, and there were so many different rumors about why Murray sued. He didn't want to be associated with it. That wasn't a problem for him, trust me. But he really didn't want the Beach Boys associated with their earlier days of just cars, surfing, girls. That wasn't the extent of it, but that was one thing. And then he supposedly didn't want them sharing the stage with some of the other performers. But whatever it was, if you have it, you don't have Surfing USA, I Get Around, Surfer Girl, Dance, 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 because that was pulled out of it due to the lawsuit. I think that it finally got sorted out when Dick Clark bought it. And as he often did, he sweeps down upon things that were absolute failures and buys them at the right time. And so, of course, then it came out and you get to see it. But how many scholarships were awarded? None. All right.
Uh-huh.
What was the follow-up?
Yeah.
Nothing, but it was a few days of some great shows that were free to LA high school kids, so that was kind of nice.
One of the kids in the audience was also David Cassidy.
Right, he was in junior high at the time.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Right. And you talk about the choreography being Tony Basil and all that. Yeah, I'm well aware of the players.
The dancing was great. Yeah. I mean, what a time. I can never get tired of it. When I want to take a blast into the past, I just play that whole thing on YouTube, and I just can never tire of it.
Well, it's funny because I guarantee you when this was all blowing up, and I remember that like it was yesterday, it was blowing up. I don't think anybody involved ever thought that the Library of Congress was going to deem it culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. that's all true. But the real story, like I say, was poor Bill Sargent. And again, I don't think he was like Zero Mostel, and I think he was very good technically, but I think his ideas were just so much bigger than his ability to pull them off. And I've worked with people like that in LA who are well-intentioned people, but they just can't do it. And that was what happened with Bill Sargent.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to have brought it up on your show.
Yeah, no,
I'm glad I learned of these things.
Yeah, no, well, I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yeah.
I hope you'll call me again.
Sure. I got a lot of other things to discuss because, 1964, that was when the 60s really got started.
It's funny.
Such a pivotal year.
Yeah, everybody's viewpoint is different. I always say life ended for me after 1963. That 64 period, I just hated it. But there were some things that were interesting that came out, like the Tammy Show. It's an interesting little remnant.
You didn't like Hard Day's Night by the Beatles?
That black and white film. I remember it so well doing promotions.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I mean, I was not a Beatles fan because I was grateful that a lot of general market American teens got to hear R&B for the first time because they wouldn't have known that Anna was Arthur Alexander and, Twist and Shout was the Isleys and all that and that. So a lot of the covers were You Really Got a Hold on Me. It was Smokey. So that was nice. But no, I'd rather not have my R&B repackaged to me and brought over from Great Britain, and I really don't want to hear what came after it.
Mm.
So no.
Okay, then.
But good deal. Hope to talk to you soon. Thanks.
Oh, sure.
Appreciate
bye.
It. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And it is good that Tammy has, at this point, been released legitimately so that people who want to see it can enjoy it with all of his electronovision quality. Yeah, it was 800 scan lines, which is nice. Because, of course, you know, television, NTSC, which I always thought stood for never twice same color, but nonetheless has 525 scan lines, and we didn't use them all. You know, 800 scan lines is nice. And why? Because they could convert it to kinescope fairly easily. So film to kine was not necessarily easy, but it was in this case. So anyway, there you have Bill Sargent. Yeah, electronically speaking, a whiz. As far as producing and his visions, well, yeah. All right, so we'll get to Richard, a first-time caller in Rockport. Welcome to WGN Radio, Richard. Richard. Or not. Richard gave up on me. The first-time callers sometimes just don't hang in there. Now, remember, when you call, you're going to hear absolute silence from this studio because I didn't set it up right and I don't have time to fix it. So when you're on hold, you hear nothing. But maybe that's just as well. Better than, you know, bad classical music. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. James, well, it may be a night to remember, but I forgot what it was Shalimar did on this day that caused me to play A Night to Remember. Well, 1982 on Solar, and I do like it, so that's good enough, yeah. Huggy Boy used to play all this all the time. It's a big East L.A. record. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. We were going to have Steve Probst on tomorrow night, except now we're not. And hopefully we will soon, because Steve is a little under the weather and voice not up to par and lots of coughing, and yeah, I can relate. So get well soon, Steve, and we will definitely do that in the coming days. Steve, of course, has written a plethora of books about old-time rock and roll, soul style especially, and one on East L.A., too. I've got it over here. Let me see if I can find it here without knocking over a bunch of other stuff. Well, no, I've knocked over a bunch of other stuff. Well, we'll find it later. A big thanks to Mitchell K. We won't give a last name. We'll just call him Mitchell the K, who actually mailed me an album. I was so excited. Yeah, because it's the original Andy Fairweather Low Spider Jivin album. And so, yeah, Mitch the K, a star of MTV, VH1, and lots of other things that is in Yale, Michigan, had the original Andy Fairweather Low A&M album. And it's a nice album cover, too, but great stuff on it. And it's not only wonderful to receive, so thank you, Mitchell. But the best part is now it's going to force me at this studio. I've got my very nice turntable sitting right here, hooked up to absolutely nothing because I haven't bothered to connect my preamp yet. And so, you know, it's always like, oh, it's on the list. Well, now that I've gotten this, I have a reason to connect the preamp, and I will, and we'll play directly from the album in the coming days. And so I thank him tremendously for that. Really a kick. You know, John is always ordering records. Yeah, mine aren't good enough, right, because they have scratches or, you know, like I've used them as a coaster or whatever it was. No, he has to have the new version, which, of course, you know, costs 10 times more. But as he's explained to me, well, yes, but inflation-wise, it's probably the same price. No, it was $2.99. Let's stick with that. In any event, when I saw it today, I thought, oh, you get, or the other thing he buys, LaserDiscs. Yes, we are, in fact, the one-stop repository for everything LaserDisc. And and he likes them, so that's fine. But so when they come in, usually the guy at the post office will say, your albums are, nope, those are our laser discs. But in any event, that's what I thought this might be. But it wasn't. It was for me. And that was a lot of fun. So thank you. We also got our red lights. Yes, this red light therapy that everybody is talking about. Well, our doctor said there's really something to it. You might want to try it. And so I'll tell you what, it's heavy. It'll build muscles. But I got it in the house, and we will try the red light therapy. I'll tell you how it goes. We also got one of those machines before to, you know, help your lymphatic system and all that. You just jump up and down on a small trampoline, and I absolutely have one in Globe in the game room there. But here, there wasn't really room for the trampoline, so there's a machine that does that. I'll say... Yeah, right. It makes you look like you're in the middle of an I Love Lucy episode. So fortunately, I put it close to a wall so I can hold on. I'll let you know how that does, too. I don't know. All bets are off right now, but at least I'll hang on tight to the wall. And with that in mind, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large, WGN Radio News, and be back to you in moments on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Olympics, 1959 on RV, and Shimmy Like Kate. I think that's one of my all-time favorites. And actually, what had happened after Western movies, the Olympics were trying to have another hit, and it really wasn't going for them. But then they fell kind of into this dance stuff. And there were a few of them, and then when they did Baby Hully Gully, which was just a real afterthought, they had a few minutes on a session to fill, and they did. It did very well for them. It came like their second biggest record or whatever at the time. And so they said, well, maybe it's the dance. So then they had the slop and the shimmy, shimmy like Kate. Dance by the Light of the Moon, and ultimately a Big Boy Pete on RV, which was interesting. We were talking about that the other night with John, because the story of the Kingsmen came up, and I said, well, you know, the Kingsmen wouldn't have been anything if it weren't for LARB, because their big hit Louie Louie was actually Richard Berry in LA, and their follow-up, the Jolly Green Giant, was Big Boy Pete. I have to look at the label to see that the right writers got credit for that. So 888-876-5593. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. Mark is in Aurora. What's happening, Mark?
Well, I have been experiencing very unusual FMDX over the past few days. I live in Aurora, Illinois, which is about 40 miles west of Chicago, and I have picked up loud and clear FM stations from Omaha, Nebraska, and Lawrence, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And
you're absolutely in the right month of the year for this, you know.
Is this temperature inversion?
No, it's tropoducting. That's exactly how you get FM. And when you mention like Nebraska and Kansas, which are next to us, usually it is geographical like that. When you dial around, suddenly you hear all the stations from like Lincoln that you've never heard before, never want to hear again, but there they are. Yeah, that's typical tropoducting.
Well, one was really unusual in that it was a station from Springfield, Illinois. Uh-huh. And it was on 98.7, and it totally drowned out our local station, WFMT, which is the classical station.
Yeah, WNNS.
I mean, the difference in format was stark.
Right, WNNS, Springfield's best variety.
Yeah. Exactly, and it totally drowned out WFMT for a while.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's the way it works. But your key is for a while, because that's the thing. When you're hitting that moment, you don't say, I'll come back in a few hours and listen. No, enjoy it while it's there, because it won't be for a long period of time. But usually...
Well, actually, it's been there for hours.
Yeah, hours, okay, but...
Even days.
Well, days is rare. You normally won't get days.
Yeah.
Days would be really rare.
Yeah.
You mostly get it for hours. And and again, it's usually very geographical. Like I've mentioned a few times, driving through Washington, D.C., and all of a sudden I got all the radio stations from Little Rock. And a couple hours later, when I was in South Carolina, I got all the radio stations from Tampa. You know, that's kind of stuff would happen, and that would be typical of tropoducting.
Now, what causes tropoducting?
Atmospheric. There's a forecast for it, believe it or not. Because people who are into this, because you know it's going to affect VHF and UHF, so you're going to be able to do this with television too. Yeah, I remember the first time.
Yes.
The first time I experienced it, I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and I was sitting in a hotel room where we were living, and I turned on the TV in Bal Harbour, and instead of seeing Miami TV, I saw Houston, and I thought, oh man, this is just the best.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was, but I loved it, and so that's when I started to, as a kid, try to find out what tropospheric ducting was, and you can look at the tropo ducting forecast; they're all online.
Is there something about summer that is conducive to this?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be the summer, and more than not. And it's a weird kind of propagation that allows VHF in particular and some UHF travel well above line of sight. And, you know, it's usually in that VHF range. And, you know, and of course the FM band is squarely in that VHF range. So, you know, the old VHF range. So anyway, you know.
But what is it about summer weather that causes this?
Well, you'd have to ask a meteorologist. You know, probably the wrong person. But it happens during.
Because I've also heard it can be temperature inversion.
Well, the words I always used to hear was anticyclonic, and it had to do with a rise in temperature in the atmosphere instead of a decrease.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess that would be a temperature inversion, and it caused a higher refractive index. But it affects all frequencies, but some frequencies, obviously, are just really ripe for that type of DXing. And summer, like I say, August, ding, 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 summer and autumn. So August, September, and that, I think, has to do with the change of the refractive index. You'd have to look, talk to somebody else about what that means, because I don't care. But, you know.
I can see where that would be true, and I called in about it mainly for two reasons. Number one, to say that, boy, am I glad I've got two Crane radios.
Oh, yeah.
And number two, I thought any listeners who are into this might be interested in knowing that it's been happening. And I think it might still be happening. Well, I'll have to check when we get off the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, so it probably could happen. And there's always tropospheric scatter.
And it goes in and out, too.
Yeah, well, of course it does. There's always tropospheric scatter, but you don't hear that. It's when you get to the ducting. And, you know, what you can see is that it hits that air of that layer of air where suddenly the transmitter and the receiver can be miles apart, but usually going to be geographically friendly. But it's usually because of a dramatic increase in higher altitude temperature. But, you know, how the hell would I know that? So if the inversion layer has lower humidity and all that kind of crap, that you know, you like this, so you could read about that.
And it doesn't even matter if it's a low-power station.
No, it doesn't matter.
I got a Christian station years ago from Homestead, Florida, and I called them up, and they said, well, that's weird, because we don't even go north. We don't even go very far north of our own city, and you're getting us up there in Illinois.
Well, that would be a typical ducting.
And that was like 1,200 or 1,300 miles.
Yeah. And by the way, the ducts can be of different sizes. And since you're interested in this, I guarantee you there's a wealth of information about this. And you can read about what's suitable for weather. And you can also, like in a duct, you can find out what the LUF is, which is going to be the lowest usable frequency. And so this is going to tell you why you're getting it certain places on the dial and not other places on the dial. So, there's no shortage of people who love this stuff. So you can find out all about it.
My geekdom is showing.
It will be thoroughly fulfilled. In fact, you can do a little report next time, because it's going to be thoroughly fulfilled. There's hundreds and hundreds of sites on this.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Colin.
Sure. Happy to. Let me know. Okay, thanks. Yeah, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And all right, so last night, Paul was going to call in about cassette tapes, and he got tired of waiting. Who would blame him, to quote the Kinks? So we'll welcome him now. Paul, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, thank you, Raleigh, for understanding that.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like calling Medicare Medicaid.
Right. And they don't put you on hold. They put you on ignore.
And also, you don't have any like sound or anything when you're on hold.
Yeah, not at this studio. That's my fault.
When I worked at Illinois Bell, we would have to, like, after 4 seconds, say, still looking.
Oh, right. I know. That was absolutely still checking. Right. Absolutely.
Right.
One moment, please. Yeah. Oh, I know. Very often when I'm sitting here.
Otherwise, you think that you're disconnected.
Right. No, I remember that so well. Information, may I help you? Yeah, of course.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah.
Terrible job, because you can do 97% efficiency and they still want better.
Of course.
And they're always listening in on you.
Yes.
And you say, even Babe Ruth struck out more times than he hit home runs. And they just said, are there any more at home like you? And so anyway, I'm thinking about getting a boombox. One of those larger ones, not like the little ones that they make these days, but not like the ones that you see like ghetto blasters. In your opinion, what boomboxes, what make like Panasonic or Iowa? Or
I'll tell you the advantage of Panasonic, is, other than them being cheap, is, and they are, is with Panasonic, you usually get really nice AM reception. That's why I go for them and the older ones. But, you know, they're all about equal. And I would say you've got a zillion to choose from. So I'm not a big fan of cassettes in general. Anything traveling at 1 7/8, I'm not a fan of. But they're fine. So
What I found is when I recorded on metal tape,
right,
I got really good quality sound, and especially if I used Dolby S, I really got good recordings. Which leads to my next question: is can you still purchase metal cassette tapes?
That's a good question. You know, just like the cassette, the little boom boxes you're talking about, usually the ones that you're going to get used are going to be better than the ones you get new if you get something that nobody's kicked around too hard. So, I mean, I know some of the tape exists because I've got some of it, but it's not new. So that's the question. Does metal cassette tape still exist for sale now is what you want to know.
Or even the chromium dioxide tapes are not bad.
Right, right. Well, most of what I'm seeing... I see a lot of them on eBay. They got a ton of them sealed, but how new they are, I don't know. But you get a box of them, and you can get them individually, and you can get that TDKMA stuff, or you know, the Sony SR90, you know, the Type 4 metal.
Right.
That's you can get that. The prices they're charging is like, what are you kidding? And the Sony metal SR100. You know, I'd stay away from something over 90 minutes, over 90, because if you go like for a 120, that's really thin tape.
Right.
And that's convenient, but it's really thin. So I don't think I'd be looking for more than a 90. But yeah, it's Amazon has it too. But I think that it's ridiculously expensive compared what it was. You know, those Type 4s, I don't think they're for sale new, but I think some people still have it new and sealed, but I don't think it's been recently made.
And what do you see as far as prices?
Oh, it varies, but they're not cheap. You know, I'm seeing some that are $20, but I'm seeing some that are $65. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, I would decide I was going to do something else.
Yes, absolutely. My gosh.
Yeah, no, it's just like reel-to-reel tape has become frightfully expensive. For a while, old Radio Shack tape was fairly cheap, even though it was Radio Shack. But what happened was they were moving their facility, and a truck got destroyed during the move, and that was the end of manufacturing, so they just quit, which was the wise decision for them. You can go ahead also and look at some that are used that you're going to find for, you know, $5, but what the quality is, I don't know.
Right, right.
You know, it varies.
Does Radio Shack still exist?
No, it exists in it exists online as a website, but not as a store.
Because I had bought a DX440 one time, which was supposed to have been a very good shortwave radio.
Uh-huh, I remember it. I remember it well. I had one.
And I don't know, maybe I just wasn't impressed with shortwave.
Well, it was the poor man's Sony ICF 2010.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had a ICF 2001.
Okay.
And it just had so many controls on it that it was like buying a Citroen automobile Star Trek console.
Well, you know, that Sony ICF 2010 is still for sale, and it not new, obviously, used, and it varies in price, but you know, I don't know. Today, what I wind up doing is taking my old 45s and recording them myself to computer, saving them in a few ways. One is saving them as an audio format, and the other is, you know, sometimes saving them as a high quality MP3 if I'm going to play it on the radio. But if I'm going to play it personally, I just, you know, save it as an AIF file, and I just record them myself.
You know, right,
and
right.
There are so many programs.
You're pretty technical,
well,
though.
It doesn't take Einstein for this, really. There's programs like WavePad that are very inexpensive from NCH that, you know, anybody can use. It doesn't have to be science.
So you're not talking radio science or rocket science.
No, I know, but it isn't. Believe me. I mean, I understand when you're faced with some of these programs. Believe me, I know where it's like, oh my God. Some of the, you know, I'm not visually oriented, obviously, but some of the stuff John uses, oh my God, I couldn't begin to use it. But things like WavePad and stuff, you can be. It's simple, stupid. Anyone can do this.
How much does John pay for laser discs?
I have no idea. Let me put you on hold, and you can tell. You're going to ask him. I don't look.
Oh,
I just,
all right.
I just know that I pay bills, and they're big bills. But there's things other than laser discs on them. So hang on.
I'd like the
John will know. He'll know everything about laser discs. Hang on. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, he will absolutely know. And I don't watch him. All right, or anything else. 888-876-5593. I don't remember if I'm supposed to stop talking. And so usually I default to I will, and we'll see what happens on WGN Radio.
You're 17, everything that you sing, it's all there in her eyes. So many years of a poor mama's tears and a day to sweet lies. There's nobody home, Mary Ann's alone, almost fully grown and worldly wise. Jimmy's been down, he's been out and around, and he knows where it's at. Nothing'd be good if he thought that it could, but it isn't like that. He don't make mistakes, what he needs it takes. Jimmy gets all the breaks, cause he knows how.
I'm Raleigh James. That's a follow-up to Granny, which was the number one record in the United States in 1972 on this day. But Jimmy Loves Mary Ann didn't have the same fate. We'll pick it up there next hour here on WGN Radio.
Go, 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 go. Hurry, 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 hurry. Get. I get over to Friendly Loan. We want to see you at Friendly Loan. That neighborly low-cost long-term uptown no-down payment company.
My baby said she'd marry me, but there was just one thing. I had to go and buy her a great big diamond ring. I didn't have no money, I didn't know where to go, until I heard that fella say on the radio.
I get, I get over to Friendly Loan. Hurry over to Friendly Loan. All you have to do is sign on a dotted line, and the money is there, and the treatment is fine at Friendly Loan. We want to see you at Friendly Loan. That neighborly low cost, long term, uptown, no down payment, a company.
Well, after we both said I do, we had to move somewhere. Found us an apartment, but oh my, it was bare. Didn't have no money to fix the place up nice. Then I recalled that friendly voice with that good advice.
I get, I get over to Friendly Loan. Hurry over to Friendly Loan. That neighborly low cost, long term, uptown, no down payment, a company.
Well, everything was wonderful until that fatal day. I couldn't keep my payments up, so in a friendly way, they repossessed my sofa.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. You knew that was coming, right? Friendly Loans, the Marcells, 1962 on Cole Picks. Lee Pockris was a co-writer of that. And I just thought it was makes me laugh every time I hear it. But I thought of it because when I was thinking about people who are dependent upon Social Security checks for existence, and the number is higher than you think. It was never meant to be that way, of course. And again, people who have Social Security checks as well as defined benefit pensions or other assets, they're not going to be terribly hit. But people who literally are skipping food a couple days toward the end of the month because the check won't last that long, the deposit actually, now they don't actually mail you a check. But nonetheless, 3.1% is the projected increase for this year because of the formula being based on June, July, and July, August, September, I guess it is, the third quarter. It seems to me that at the very least it should be based on January through September, first, second, and third quarter, because if unemployment is well into the double digits and the first one is in a one in the first and second quarter, if the third quarter drops down to virtually nothing, that means you get no increase or not much of one. This is going to be a problem for a lot of people. And as I was saying, I didn't hear because I was just looking at the closed captions, reading them while the news was on. And people from all walks of life talking about how they are hit with inflation. And, you know, I don't know a person in my sphere, and that includes all of you on the air, as well as people I run into daily or people who are personal friends. I don't know a person who isn't just stunned. I was going to say aghast, but it's not so much that. It's just stunned at the prices of anything these days compared to what they were just a few years ago. And I consider it a scam. Sometimes you'll see something that doesn't cost any more money, but you're getting a lot less of it. Yeah, there's this powder, body powder I use that I liked a lot, you know, from Amazon, and I was running out and I had to get more. And Amazon obviously doesn't make it. They're the distributor thereof. But I ordered more for the same price, and I was pleasantly surprised. Well, it hadn't gone up in price. That's nice. And I get it. And before it was 7.5 ounces. Now it's 5 ounces for the same price. And worse than that, what I liked about it before was it was in kind of cardboard packaging, which is fairly inert. And now it's in a plastic container. And I'm thinking, and how will this leach? Who knows? It's just powder. I'm not gonna lose sleep over it. But in general, it seems that everything, the prices are just amazing. And of course, anybody who drives, you know, when you go to the pump, you cannot believe it. You're filling up your car, it's over $100. And it just seems to me that if there is not quite an increase in Social Security checks this year, there are a number of people on fixed incomes who are just going to be hungry. And that is not good news all the way around. I also wonder, like I was saying, so many people who are on defined benefit pensions, which are so nice, those are virtually going away. What's going to happen with these 401ks? Are people going to be able to retire on that? And then you say, well, a lot of people, it's the equity in their house that they cash out, and then they have a lot of money and that's nice. But as we've talked about before, if you're not in the housing market now, getting in is frightfully expensive. So when I bring that up, because I was looking at links here before saying, oh, what we talk about next. And so I'm seeing imminent dollar collapse. And of course, they're probably trying to sell you gold or something. But nonetheless, seeing more and more of those doomsday stories. And it does make you wonder, how long does this remain containable, so to speak? The other thing is, yeah, scams, scams, and more scams. Because I was reading about brushing. And I'll be honest, I never heard of it called brushing. But the deal is you get something in the mail that you didn't order. And I always thought the problem came in when you tried to identify who it came from and let them know. And, you know, they were fishing for your information. But apparently that's not necessarily it. For one thing, the fact that you got it at all, if it's in your name and address, means there's somebody out there with your name and address who probably shouldn't have it, and we don't know what they're going to do next. But the other thing, which was, I never thought of this, that a lot of these individuals who send this product out are trying to cheat the online review system. Because, and particularly with Amazon, but others, if you notice on Amazon, when you look at the reviews, it will talk about whether it's a verified purchaser or whether it's something gotten in a promotional deal. You know, a lot of people send out promotional deals and then you know, in term for you rating it. But verified purchasers are the rarefied air. That's what a seller wants. Well, so they start sending out some low-cost product via Amazon to tons of people. They write their own reviews on behalf of those people, and they're able to manipulate and skew ratings to gain more customers. So that, I had never thought of that angle, and I don't know to what degree. Like, can they send you a 5-cent balloon and have you rate some $500 kitty product? I don't know. I don't know exactly what the deal is, but the Better Business Bureau is getting a number of brushing scam reports. Now, as far as whatever they send you, keep it. If it's unsolicited, you have no reason to send it back. Yeah, recently when I got to one of my radio stations, I saw a package that I hadn't ordered, and I've got somebody who is insane in my life who will leave hundreds, if not thousands, of phone messages and, you know, sign me up for all sorts of things. And at first I thought, well, that's that. But then I looked at it, I said, no, this is a pretty big buck item. And, you know, John was like, throw it away. I said, no, I don't know. Well, it turned out that it was the neighbor who just inverted their address digits. And so fortunately they called and said, did you get a, I did get a, here it is. So I'm glad I didn't throw it out for their behalf, but, you don't have to throw it out. If it comes, without you ordering it, it's yours to keep. Yeah. And I'll tell you, the credit card companies found that out the hard way. When MasterCharge and Bank AmeriCard were first mailing out, and of course we're talking the 60s now, to compete with you know, Diners Club and American Express and things of this nature, Bank of America came up with Bank AmeriCard, which became Visa, and a competitor came up with MasterCharge. Well, what's interesting at first is that they mailed the cards to hundreds of thousands of people, unsolicited and unsigned for, et cetera, and so forth. And people went out and had a shopping spree, and it turned out that the people didn't have to pay it back. And it was very simple. The people had not agreed to the terms or conditions and had not ordered the card. So that's why now, even when you get one of those, you're pre-approved or whatever, you know, the just sign here, they make sure that you legally acknowledge that you want and got the card. Otherwise, no, you don't have to have to pay for what you put on it. Gas stations were big too in the 60s when they started really pushing their own cards. You know, the City Services, later Citgo of the world, or Sinclair or whatever. They'd mail out cards to tons of people. And for most people, they did pay it. You know, they used the card, they paid it. But if they didn't pay it, there was absolutely no legal recourse. They didn't have to. Now, got a number of stories. I was somewhat aghast, by the way, about Texas, that they want to surcharge owners of electric cars because they won't need to buy gas and therefore they won't be paying as much into the system for highways and byways. And I thought, yeah, we're going to see if this passes muster. And I'm not sure that it will, actually. There's no shortage of ways that states have dreamed up to get sales tax out of you. My favorite, the granddaddy of them all, is still California, that wanted to tax the satellites that were in geostationary orbit above them. And I was all for it, by the way. I thought this was a great idea because, of course, if you're paying taxes, you're entitled to services. And so they were going to be paying property taxes. Well, what if there's a fire in a transponder? Yeah, you go up and fix it, California. But nonetheless, it didn't pass. But I'm not sure that the Texas law will as well. But what's interesting is how many states are passing laws that will hold that, you know, absolutely can put you in harm's way. In Colorado, it's illegal to cool off your car. That's right. It was illegal to heat it, too. Now, this is when you're not in it. And apparently, talking about the western slope here, which is not the front range reason of Denver and all this, we're talking about the other side of the state, where they have a puffer law, 365 days a year. It is illegal to warm up your car in the winter unattended. All right, so that's statewide. Right, you know, you're getting up and going to work. You cannot warm up the car before you get in it. Well, the law also says it's illegal to let it run in the summer for the AC to cool it down before you get in. And the bottom line is that the Colorado law says it's illegal to start your car and then leave it running unattended even for a moment, regardless. So most Coloradans have no idea what the puffer law is. If anything, they think maybe it has to do with marijuana. But it's the puff of your exhaust. This is why they do this, because, you know, you'll be a pollutant. And the fines for starting your car and not getting in the car at the same time are $60. Or more, depending on where you live. Like I say, on the western slope, it's a little pricier. So, you know, of course, the old methods of parking in the shade are one way if you're trying to cool it off. Or, you know, there's probably other ways. But the bottom line is that in the name of the environment, there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of laws you may be breaking as we speak. So I hope that somebody will combine maybe a little packet for us, so that we'll know there's somebody's done that for Colorado, and have laws like it's you cannot mutilate a rock in a state park. You may not place your couch on an outside porch in Boulder. Well, of course it's Boulder, right? And on it goes. But some of the oddest state laws. In Louisville, Colorado, you may not own a chicken, but no chickens, but you can have up to 3 turkeys. All right, so 888-876-5593. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Clearly nothing is on my mind, but I'll come up with something if you don't, and another bumper that I'll probably like next on WGN Radio.
And I've been here since 8.
Yeah. I ain't got no money and my rent is due. And I got a hole in the bottom of my shoe. Yeah. I say, have you, will you, won't you give me a job? Yeah. Files and she found my card.
Yeah. I said I'll take anything if it ain't too hard.
Yeah. WGN Radio, I'm Robbie James. Those are the Moon Glows. Yeah, it was the flip side of just a horrible record. I forget what right now, but when I heard Unemployment, I said, oh yeah, this is my record indeed. So.
Yeah.
So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. I have to see what's illegal in Illinois right now. I've just been looking at some of the things that are illegal in Colorado. And have you ever wondered why a certain law is passed? You figure something has to predicate, just like the warning labels on products. You figure somebody has got to have done this. But Alamosa, Colorado has a specific law that says throwing missiles at a car is illegal. What exactly do you think happened that caused that law? Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but what makes me think is someone did it and they found out we can't arrest them for anything. It's not on the books. You figure there's some subtext in there. It's illegal in some ways. You cannot throw the missiles at the cars. Well, I guess now you really can't in Alamosa. In Colorado, anywhere in the state, car dealers may not show cars on Sunday. Now, that's interesting. They may not show them, but that does not necessarily mean that the lot cannot be open. So I would think if you want to go see a car and you really don't want that pesky salesman bothering you, go on a Sunday. But I don't know. You'd have to you know, try that on your own and report back and let me know. But they also had things you cannot throw away. And some of them are the sensible ones, like asbestos. But let's take a Band-Aid. All right. Now, come on. How often have you just thrown a Band-Aid in the trash? Well, technically, that is illegal. You have to seal them in a plastic bag before they can be thrown away. I don't know anybody who does that. Now, I think it's a good idea, don't get me wrong, but I, you know, and obviously if you're dealing with a huge dressing or something, well, you know, now we're in a different category, but your average battery, your average Band-Aid, I don't know. Now, illegal to throw away a broken CFL, which, by the way, I knew, but it always makes me laugh because, you know, there was nothing wrong, most of us thought, with incandescent light bulbs. In fact, most of us loved them, truly loved them. We didn't realize how much we loved them until they were in danger of being extinguished, which, of course, now they pretty much are. But the initial replacement, you're going to take the CFL bulb. I don't know who thought of that, but it was the absolute and total worst. And you still see people or places, hotels and stuff, that have them. CFL bulbs are the worst. But not only that, if you break them, you practically have to call a hazmat team in. So here we have a product that's truly a hazardous waste. Can't throw it out. All right, yeah, what exactly do you do? Well, there's a whole litany of how to dispose of them properly. But you got a product that's replacing the incandescent bulb because the incandescent bulb is just not friendly to the atmosphere. I guarantee you whatever they thought the incandescent bulb was going to do, CFLs did exponentially more. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, it will be on my mind, or else I'll just prattle on, coming up on WGN Radio.
You just happened yesterday, yet it seems you came my way before. Darling, I swear I felt your lips on mine at least 1,000 times or more. Darling, we walked in the sun and we laughed when it rained on our dreams. And now it's all coming true. Remember me, but we had always planned to be like this.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Who mic'd that? I say that because I like Vic Dana's version of A Lifetime Loving You. That was an Anderson Poncia song, and I played it because Vic Dana just turned 82, and he's retired, of course, and I think in Paducah. But every time I play this, it's one of those you know, hit and miss. I love it, but the production on it is just wrong. And Artie Ripp, you know, Kama Sutra produced it. Ernie Freeman arranged it, but and then I thought, well, maybe it was the polystyrene, except I haven't ever heard a clean copy of that. So I'm still going to look for a clean copy of A Lifetime Loving You by Vic Dana, because after all, everybody has to have a quest. Well, that will be mine. 888-876-5593. Steve in Las Vegas. Steve Bryant, welcome to WGN Radio.
Raleigh, thank you. How are you and John doing?
Well, we've been hot. Earlier today, we had no air conditioning and no broadband, but it seems like both are back now, so no complaints. How about you?
Oh, good.
How about
good.
You?
Things are good. The heat finally broke here in Las Vegas.
So it's down to about 103?
102, 103
okay,
today.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be 94 tomorrow, so I'm getting out the wool sweater.
Right, a cooling trend.
That's right. Well, I haven't heard the show for a couple of days. Have you talked about the Oliver Anthony song?
No. Tell me all about it.
Okay, well, this is the guy who went number one with no radio play, number one on iTunes, number one on the Billboard country charts. And he's a guy from the South. He looks like a typical country artist, big long red beard, and it's a solo guitar and voice song.
Okay.
And it's a protest song, basically. It's called
Brink of
Rich
War.
Men.
Oh, Rich Men of North Richmond. Rich Men of North Richmond. Okay.
That's it. Yep,
no,
that's
so
the one.
So that's become a hit, has it?
A huge hit.
Wow.
And just from the online royalties, he's making thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a day, as bad as online royalties are.
No, I'm going to play it right now. But here's the interesting thing. Does any radio station at all play it at this point? Now has radio jumped on it?
No.
Nothing.
It's God forgive me for what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
It's terrible. It's really bad. He sings it in one of those, again, God forgive me, one of those caterwauling bluegrass-type voices. It's a great message. The song has a great message before they start putting out the lynch mobs for me. It has a great message. I mean, he's railing about this, but he makes some lyrical mistakes. He does sort of chastise obese people and people on welfare, and what he should be going after the government that's providing the
oh,
the
wait
welfare
a minute, I can't
person.
Play it. I realize I was about to play it. I can't play it. Overtime hours for, can't use the next word, pay. Okay. I'll have to edit this. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I do want to hear it, but I'm not going to get to hear it on the air cold. I'm going to have to edit it.
It's not bad. It's not bad,
There's a couple words in there I just can't have on the radio.
Exactly. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So,
that's true. And it's kind of hard to hear the lyrics the way he sings them.
Yeah, but I'm sure those would stand out, don't they? Always.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
I do remember once we actually did a Pink Floyd show on QVC, and to introduce the products, I played the Pink Floyd song "Money." Which uses the clear, absolutely, you could hear it across the town, across the county line, the BS word,
right.
and says the word right out.
Right.
And nobody ever said a word.
That's funny you say that, because I have rarely used just horrible language on the air, but when I was in Durham at the wonderful WDNC, when they decided they'd go all carts, and they brought four cart machines, which we would play our music on, and all four of them came in on the same pot. And so what you had to do, of course, was you had to realize exactly when that record was going to end, to fade it. And if you were going to talk over it, you know, you're going to roll and crush the thing and talk over it, you had to have your mic open to this kind of at the same time. It was you know, one of these horrible situations. And so there I was.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know what's coming. Here is my mic open. And one of the song ends at a point I don't think it's ending, and the next one doesn't start. Now, I don't realize that I have my mic open. So what I've done now is I've created dead air on both sides of the F word and in Afternoon Drive. And I mean, I've not only said it, I've highlighted it. And I thought, man, my days are numbered in Durham. No one ever said a word.
Yep. And that's great.
Yeah.
That's,
and all that, I can that, figure that, is that people thought they didn't hear it.
Exactly. It's like they were passively listening, and they were like, what was that?
And of course,
it wasn't the digital age. They couldn't rewind it and say, wait, what was that?
No, they couldn't. And of course, I'm a guess, because of course the reason I know I've said it, you know, for all of Durham County to hear, and Raleigh too, is that I hear it in my headphones. So I know what I've said, and I know I've said with dead air on both sides. So yes, it's, you know, but then again, you can say something fairly innocuous that you think nobody's going to react to when you get mail.
Oh, yes. Many times. About this Oliver song, it kind of shows you how ineffectual music radio, country music radio especially, is because this thing skyrocketed to number one, and Fox News is playing it, and they actually played it during the debates tonight, which I thought was interesting. It's the kind of thing, and supposedly this guy has turned down millions and millions of dollars. I'll take his word for that. And of course, the news media being just as right on the spot as they usually are, except at WGN. Anyway, being right on the spot, they said, one of the guys on Fox said, and he's playing a Gretsch guitar, and they can go upwards of $10,000-$12,000. Well, I'll kiss a pig if he can find a $12,000 Gretsch, number one. And number two, I happen to know the guitar. It's a resonator guitar, which sounds very tinny when you play it without a slide. It's meant to be played with a slide. And it's $699. So Fox News was saying, oh, he's such a professional. He's using such an expensive guitar.
Yeah.
And as a songwriter who writes topical songs, yes, there's more than a hint of jealousy here, because I listen to this song and it's bad musically, just bad.
Oh man. Yeah, I would. I'm looking at the lyrics, and I can see, talk about politically incorrect. I can see where a number, but I think some people would download just this thing just for the momentary shock value. But 31 million people have.
Yes, I know. That's a pretty good piece of change. And I do not buy. Gee, Steve, how bitter are you? I don't buy the whole serendipitous thing.
No.
I think if you look at the video, I think this was absolutely planned and put together. And they said, we're going to make this attack and it's going to be great. I think it's got all kinds of big power behind it. I could be wrong, but...
Well, first we have to find out, Oliver Anthony is Christopher Anthony Lunsford. And who is he? What's his background? They say an Appalachian singer of country folk genre. No, that's not all,
no.
Started writing music 2 years ago and released on Spotify. What was he doing before that?
He was a factory worker that got laid off, and he got angry, which is why he wrote the song. And I admire the passion that he has. I admire that. I admire the success that he's had. I'm not jealous of him. I do admire it. But I shake my head and go, this made it?
Well, yeah, it does make you wonder, but I wonder what is behind it. I don't know, but yeah, I'm looking at his bio and stuff, and he was a high school dropout who got his GED and all that. Okay, fine. He's the first male songwriter to chart 13 songs all simultaneously in the top 50 digital song sales. So apparently Prince and Michael Jackson have only exceeded that count following their death. Well, that's interesting. I don't know, but like you, I think that it doesn't sound like serendipity. There's more of a story here, but I don't know what it is. It's fascinating.
It does interest me. I've looked into it. I've done some writing about it online. Just some things that really kind of bothered me about this. And I on some of the radio chat boards, which I go into infrequently because they're disturbing. But on some of the radio chat boards, there's a lot of people on radio saying, I'd never program it. And you see that constantly on the radio chat board. Guys who work in radio, guys that are PDs.
Yeah.
Or at least PDs in their mind.
Right. Obviously I haven't heard it, but if it's as discordant as I think it will be based on your review, I wouldn't play it either.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the fact that it sort of flew in the face of big country, unless it was backed by
big country. Yes, it does make you wonder, and I hope a story will come out on on what that is or how this happened. So yeah, interesting. Of course, country, you know, very often goes through these slumps. You know, where the current songs, they're all funeral dirges, for instance. And you say, yeah, I just can't add any of these current songs because my radio station is going to sound like a eulogy. You know, so in terms of, and I don't care what they say to me, country is still male AC at this point in time, you know. What you know, self-respecting male is listening to Delilah and eating bonbons. So, you know, people who were formerly listening to classic rock but are now saying, oh, no, rather than a wow every time Stairway to Heaven comes on, they're more likely to become a country listener. So it's male AC in my heart of hearts. And with that in mind, you can't program all funeral dirges. So you're going to have a good modicum of other stuff, whether it be oldies or whether you broaden your format somewhat to include maybe some classic rock or what have you, depending on what market you're in. But you can't play things that are going to cause people to turn off the radio. So
that's true. And this would do that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. You know, it... I think you can't be all burnt out. You know, that's where familiarity builds contempt, but rather than content. But you also can't be so jarring that the person sitting in their office is going to say, "I'll change stations now." You know, so
exactly.
Oh man,
exactly.
So okay, so what do we have? We have a little bit about him where he says he had been struggling with mental health issues and alcohol abuse for 5 years. Well. And broke down and promised God he'd get sober if he helped him follow his dream. So
all right.
30 days later, West Virginia Music Channel Radio WB asked him to record a song for its YouTube channel. And the result was Rich Men North of Richmond. Well, so that's the deal. A free show at Barco, North Carolina on August 13th. Anthony opened with the reading of Psalms 37. And so, okay. All right. Well.
Okay. It's why do I think there's a room full of people with word processors cranking all of that out somewhere? Yeah,
well, right, exactly. Or it's AI.
Wouldn't that be something?
It could be.
This guy doesn't really exist.
Yeah. Yeah. No. If that's the deal, if you put in enough parameters, you could come out with this.
Wow.
Oh, that would be the best story ever.
That would be, oh, man.
Oh, man, yeah. That's great. It could be.
Well, I'll stay on it. I know you will.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
See what comes out of this. But I thought I would bring it to your attention and get to rail a little.
Oh, yeah. No, that's wonderful. Well, it is so good to hear from you, and hopefully I will hear from you again soon.
Excellent. Thanks,
all right,
Raleigh.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks. All right. So, Steve Bryant. Oh, man. Next time, Steve will plug his channels, and you can go to YouTube and punch in Steve Bryant, and I'm sure get it, but we'll give you all the specifics other than that. But, of course, you know when the show is over, Oliver and I are going to come together while I hear this song that I trust, Steve, that I will absolutely hate. All right. So, 888-876-5593. We'll get to Cleveland Dennis. We'll get to Johnny. We'll hopefully get to you, too. You should have called earlier. And we'll get back to it in seconds on WGN Radio. And I'm Raleigh James on WGN Radio. We'll forego the bumper as time is tight, but we got Johnny and Austin. What's happening tonight, Johnny? Have we lost Johnny and Austin? No. Oh, there you are. Are you here, Johnny?
I'm right here.
All right. Excellent. Me too. What's up?
Yeah. I enjoyed hearing Steve Bryant call in. Yeah. I was going to mention Mary Wells, and we can talk about that sometime, but you're limited for time. Oh, gosh, it's later than I even thought it was. I think we'll save the topic of Mary Wells for a while because there's a long story behind her.
Let's talk about it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I can do that. I call her
call earlier. But yeah, call early.
By the way, when you're ripping a song...
Yeah.
From a store-bought CD for your personal use, what bit rate do you use?
I don't rip them that way as far as that goes. I just go ahead with a store-bought CD and transfer it directly without any parameters as an audio file to the computer. And then I put it in.
Oh, and in a full waveform?
Absolutely. And then I put it in WavePad, and I decide. Usually, I save my stuff online as AIF. If for some reason I'm saving it for MP3, which there are times I'll do that, I always go for 320 mono.
320 mono?
Well, see, I don't like stereo. So
I got you. Okay.
For people
well,
who do, that's fine. But see, I never heard these records in stereo the first time. So
right.
I want the experience I had when I turned on the AM radio. But you could go 320 stereo. But I give it everything I can. Now, if you're talking about MP3s and you need to save space, 192 is the magic number. Don't be less than 192. Now, that said, when I do my own streams that I put online, I'm doing them at 96 mono because it's basically voice and I'm not expecting anybody to go for quality. But all of KJ is 320 mono.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. By the way, I am quite familiar with that Oliver Anthony song, and I will say this, and I've heard it a lot.
Okay.
I hope there's nothing about that I hope it's for real, but I think the bottom line about that is people are so fed up with so much right now from all sides of the spectrum, and I didn't want to get political about this, and I won't. But I think the guy was, if it's for real, and I think it is, I hope it is, he was just basically saying people are fed up.
Yeah, no, he hits a nerve. You're absolutely right, and that's at a point in time. Just like when Rush Limbaugh was first starting in the 80s, he hit a nerve. And, you know, we can not to be political about that either. But yeah, I think that you're right. Apart from politics, and no matter where you stand on the aisle, people are living on their last nerve. And we talk a lot about that. I think that explains a lot of the rage and a lot of the crimes we're seeing that are just unspeakably bad at this point in time. So, yeah, if he's tying into that utter frustration, you know, that desperation frustration that people are feeling, yeah, people would relate to that.
And I think that's what it is, if that's for real. And when you get to the message that he's putting out, I think being that, and I'll agree with Steve, the song is not musically great at all, but I think the message might just override that.
Right. Well, that's really a sad, because when you've got great lyrics like that, you should have somebody do it justice in a production that does it justice.
Hey, well, obviously, he didn't have to.
No, absolutely not. But for the rest of us and for possible airplay, I'm going to listen to it when I get off the air. Like I say, when I saw the lyrics, I thought, no, I'm not playing that blindly.
and there's also a YouTube of him sitting in his truck kind of talking about himself and his life and everything.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, too. So check into the guy. Jury's out. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I might. And I might edit it so we can play it tomorrow night.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's
I'll tell you about Mary Wells.
I'm counting on it. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Okay, you too. So
bye.
Now I've got 30 seconds, and those 30 seconds are going to be long to Cleveland Dennis while I implore him, beg him, plead, will you call me earlier tomorrow night?
I will have to do that because I have a few things I want to talk about.
Well,
show
starts at 10.
Now.
Right. Show starts at 10. We'll talk to you then. Thanks.
I listen every night.
Great. All right. Call early. Thanks. So we'll talk to Cleveland Dennis tomorrow night. We'll talk to Johnny tomorrow night. And I'm counting on talking to you, too. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. And those of you who did call and keep me company tonight, much appreciated. That's a wrap until 21 hours from now. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.